Hey guys, this is Sin from Siglos, formerly of Ministry, and I'm hanging with Sydney on Metal from the Inside.
You've tuned in to the most crazy rocking metal podcast on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Metal from the Inside.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast. Sydney Taylor here, and I'm very excited about this week's guest. I have on the phone a former guitarist for Ministry. I was also working on a brand new project that we're going to get into. Sin Curran. I said his last name correctly as we checked before we started this, but I have Sin on the line, and I'm very stoked. How are you doing today, Sin?
Good. Thank you very much for the nice intro and for asking me about my last name, which is usually butchered 99% of the time, but I've become accustomed to it, so it's all good. But it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, no, I always make sure to ask. You know, I feel like some people, like you said, say it and don't really ask beforehand, and so I'm like, I want to be profesh, you know?
No, you got it, yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I want to, of course, get into this new project. I know most people know you from Ministry, which was a big part of your career. I know you left the band a bit ago, but, you know, the pandemic happened and lots of life change and stuff. And then you guys came out with this brand new project, which we're going to get into. But first off, I mean, how were you in the wake of the pandemic? And, you know, now that we're kind of on the other side, you know, kind of getting back to normal.
Yeah, you know, in a weird way, for me, the pandemic actually turned into a positive thing. And, you know, clearly a lot of negative and bad stuff happened during the pandemic. But for me personally, I think the time away from touring and being, you know, in that cycle kind of realigned me and my sort of priorities, what I wanted to do, what direction I wanted to go in. So it kind of worked out for me. I found myself, you know, obviously touring stopped and all that stuff stopped. So I went into extreme writing mode. And because of that, you know, I ended up with quite a number of new songs. And I was just kind of like trying to find a home for them during that period. You know, being home after about a year or so, I kind of like, I don't know, I felt like I needed to make a change. And that's when I, you know, I left Ministry last year. And I was feeling very comfortable being at home. I was feeling very comfortable, you know, working on this new music that I was doing. I didn't really have a home or a place for it yet, but I was very happy and content with doing it and sort of calling my own shots, you know, if that makes any sense. So that's kind of how it worked out for me. Because of the pandemic, I was actually able to just write so much, you know, more new music. And that's kind of how it led into the new project.
Right. So I know you just mentioned that you didn't really know where those new songs were going to end up yet. I mean, before this kind of new band came to be, did you think that maybe they would go to something in regards to like a solo project or anything? Or were you kind of just going to sit on them until you figured it out?
No, definitely. I'll tell you what the way it really happened and the way it went down is once we realized that, you know, we were going to be sort of shut down for a while, I just kind of, like I said, went into, you know, this crazy writing mode. And initially, I was working with another guy, another writer, and we were going to just do a project together, and then we were going to look for a vocalist. And that sort of fell through. And so I was just left with, you know, these songs that I had written. And my initial idea was, well, you know, what I'll do is I'll just get a different vocalist for every song. And my plan was to release, you know, for lack of a better term, a solo record, which I hate saying that, by the way. It always makes me feel weird saying solo records, but, you know, that's what it was basically going to be. And I was going to just feature different vocalists on that. And then what happened is during that process, I don't know, I started to really get into the extreme metal kind of thing, you know, black that kind of stuff, which I'd always been familiar with, but really wasn't that into in the past and never really gave it a chance. And so for whatever reason, I just kind of started getting into that side of metal. And I had the music for this one song. And my engineer producer, Alex Crescioni, I discussed it with him, and he suggested this guy, Pedro, from this band Transtorno. And he said, you know what, we should give Pedro a shout to see if he'd be interested in laying down some vocals. And so initially I was like, okay, cool, I'll have one track in that style. And so we had Pedro come down, he checked out the track, he killed it. And that really piqued my interest even more to actually turn that into the actual project. So what I did is we just kind of started writing more and more songs together. We're up to about we have like half an album written right now. But we released the first single, which was called Por los Siglos. And I don't know, I've just been really excited about it. It's a little heavier than what I'm used to and what my past, you know, has been. But I feel very excited about it, I think, because it's brand new to me. And I just have that sort of, I don't know, that new feeling, you know, if that makes any sense. But that's kind of how the whole thing happened.
Yeah, and I think especially when you're coming off of a band, you know, you were in your ministry for about 15 years, so, you know,
yep.
When you have an established band like that, you know, you're constantly writing for the already established, you know,
correct,
brand, you know? You don't really...
Exactly.
You have flexibility, but a limited amount of flexibility. You can't go too far outside the box. So I'm sure with this, I've heard from a lot of people who've kind of gone from major bands, established bands like that, to something kind of more free form, that it's kind of a liberating process.
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, you made all valid points. That's exactly what it's like. You know, while I was in ministry, I mean, I wrote a big part of the music, you know, with all the album. I think it was 8 albums is what I did with them. And so I would write most of the music, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's Al's band, and he has final say in the direction and how, you know, what's going to get cut, what's going to get edited, blah, 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 and stuff like that, you know? So yeah, it's very liberating, to be doing this now. It almost feels like, you know, I'm just like, I don't know, like kid in a candy store. And I'm just like, wow, you mean I can do this? You know, and I'm like, you know, and I'm the one that says yes or no. So it's a very, very freeing feeling, you know, to be in.
Right. And you guys released the first single that I know you mentioned, which is pretty cool. And you guys have a single that is coming out, which I had the chance, Raquel sent it over, which was super cool. I had a chance to hear it. Would you like to say the title so I don't butcher it as well?
Yeah. So the next single, which is ready, it's all set to go, the video's done, the song is ready, we're just waiting on a debut date, which should happen in the next few weeks. The song is called morir para vivir, excuse me, and it's basically it translates to die to live.
Yes, I looked it up because I know from my very brief years of taking Spanish, I know that vivir was life.
Correct.
So,
yes. Very good. You were halfway there.
I know. I was halfway there. So I'm glad you said it, because again, I'm just going to butcher this. But I got to check out the song, got to check out the video, which is really cool, which I know is going to be released shortly, so everybody can stay tuned for that. But the video was also really cool. I know you kind of were describing the sound. It's kind of more extreme metal, kind of doom metal. You know, you do have a little bit of that industrial sound in there too.
Yeah.
But so it's a little bit reminiscent of what people know you for, but it's also different enough where it's separate from ministry. But the video was really cool. So tell me a little bit about, I don't know, you know, I'll let you mention what you'd like, because I know we're pre-release here, but what was the process of kind of figuring out the plot and how you guys were going to go about that?
Well, on this, you know, this current video, I basically wanted to showcase the band and the performance aspect a little bit more than the previous video. And, you know, I reached out to my old friend, Matt Zane, who's an amazing video director. And he was actually the singer in one of my old bands, Society One, from back in the day. And so I reached out to him, and I you know, explained to him the idea that I had. And because of the lyrical content, the song is about, or was written after, actually after a family member loss. And that's kind of what the lyrics have to deal with and do with. And so we wanted to incorporate something along the lines of that. So that got us thinking about the very spiritual side of it. And we actually had a shaman come down to the video shoot, and he's in the video, and he actually does a cleansing on Pedro, the singer. And he actually did it, like, it was real, it was legit. And I got to tell you, it was pretty amazing to be to witness that right in front of you. I'd never witnessed, you know, that actual cleansing like that from a real shaman. And so that's part of the video as well. I didn't want to give too much away, but other than that, it's a performance video which features a real shaman. It features the band, kind of showcases, you know, what we look like, what we can do, a little bit more than the previous video, and that was intentional.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I'm looking forward to people seeing that.
Yeah, me too.
It's a cool one. And I wanted to ask you, too, a little bit about your just kind of, you know, musical and even kind of personal friendship now with Pedro. As like you said, he kind of was suggested to you by your producer. And obviously, yeah, you guys must have musical chemistry as you're continuing to write songs and doing stuff together. But did you think that you would get along with him, you know, as well? Did you kind of think that it was weird that, you know, somebody else was kind of coming in that you didn't really know? Did you expect anything really from it?
I mean, you know, it's always a gamble. Doing music, you know, for most of my life and meeting so many people, so many musicians, it's always a gamble. You always hope for the best. You hope that there's musical chemistry, and then you also hope that, you know, on a friendship level, you can get along with these people that you meet. And luckily, I mean, the second we met, we just hit it off. And we definitely have, you know, the musical chemistry happening. Kind of an interesting note is we share the same birthday.
Oh, wow.
Which is a little odd. But yeah, we get along great. And, you know, the chemistry is there. The friendship is there. And we have the same goal, you know, for this project. So, you know, everything's going smoothly right now, which is a little rare. So, you know, hoping everything continues this way.
Now, who else is playing with you? Is there anybody that you can mention?
Yeah. So the other guys, basically the project is the guys, the members that are in the video. On bass, we've got Eric Bryan, who actually plays with a number of bands, but the band that I know him from is a band called Anger is Art here in Los Angeles. And then on drums, we've got Jordan Mitev, who actually plays with my producer, Alex. He's got a band. And that's how I met him through Alex and through my director, Matt Zane, because Jordan actually played in Society One for a little while as well. And then on rhythm guitar, we've got Adrian Villanueva, who's just a shredder here in L.A., who I've known for many years. And then obviously Pedro Sanchez, who comes from his band Transtorno.
Do you guys have any plans? I know that you said you guys have a lot of songs kind of in the works. So, you know, maybe eventually if you want to talk about, you know, a future of an album or something. But is this something that you eventually would want to do live shows with, or is this kind of a studio thing?
I would love to take this out live. You know, right now what we're doing is we're focusing on trying to finish all the songs. Like I said, we've got about, I mean, right now we could release an EP. I'd like to get to an album's worth of songs, which is what we're concentrating on for the rest of this year. There's been talks about doing some live shows from some people, but that would be in 2023, unless something just, you know, huge came along for us that we couldn't say no to this year. But we're trying to concentrate just on the songs this year and then hopefully take it out on the road live next year, because I think that this project could just go over, you know, really well live. We have visions for what we want to do on stage visually, you know, to match the just the intensity and the heaviness of the music.
Yeah, I could see you guys fitting alongside of a lot of, you know, even playing a lot of those like European festivals. You know, I could totally see it.
And that's actually, it's funny you say that because I've been in contact with a lot of promoters and agents I know in Europe who are just like, they're really into this project. And I could see this, you know, going over very well and all the European festivals and all the Bloodstocks and Brutal Assault festivals and all those things out in Europe.
Yeah, and it's cool because, you know, kind of prepping for this, I know that you guys kind of got some props from Gary Holt, which was really cool. You know, it's Exodus. It's like, holy shit. And then, you know, of course, David Ellefson. So, I mean, for you, is it crazy to be getting, you know, such high praises from some of these, you know, just legendary musicians from something that, again, kind of going back to now, this is your own project. This is your own, you know, you're creating this from the ground up. Is it kind of surreal to have that kind of feedback?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I feel extremely grateful and humble, you know, that these guys, you know, even give me the time of day. I mean, Gary, for years, I got to tour with him when we did the Ministry Slayer tour in 2019. And, you know, he's just such a nice guy. And I looked up to his, and I look up to his playing, and I value his opinion so much. So, for him to say something nice about, you know, my project was just, very humbling. And the same thing goes for Dave Ellefson. I've known him for a number of years, but usually just from running into each other, either at like award shows or at festivals, you know, in Europe that we'd be, you know, sharing with him and he's just, you know, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and another guy that I look up to, and so their opinions, I mean, you know, really matter a lot to me. I value what they say. So yeah, it's very surreal and it's very humbling.
Yeah, Gary is the coolest. It was so funny. I saw Testament on an Exodus, of course, play. They're doing this The Bay Strikes Back tour.
Yeah.
And I did an interview with Eric Peterson. And so I was like backstage and I walked into a room and it's Dave Lombardo, Gary Holt, and Chuck Billy. And I was like, whoa, this is like, this is fucking nuts.
Right.
And it's just, it's crazy.
You're like, I just walked into a computer date gone crazy.
Literally. I was like, what is my life right now? This is freaking nuts. And it's funny because
awesome. All great guys, by the way.
They're so nice. And it's funny because they were all just, you know, kind of, you know, you think of all these guys and like, you know, 45 minutes, an hour before they were all out on stage, you know, just losing their goddamn minds. And I walk in and they're all just on their phones with reading glasses on. And like,
exactly.
It was so funny.
It's really like backstage nowadays. I'll tell you, like, you know, it was just on that last Slayer Ministry tour. I mean, if people only knew what it's really like backstage, I don't think they would believe it. I mean, it's all of us with reading glasses and, you know, on our phones or tablets or whatever. And, you know, now it's like, oh man, I need some ibuprofen. I need some icy hot. Like, it's different than back in the day.
Yeah, you see all the. I see a lot of like memes that are like, you know, what you think backstage is, and it's like, you know, Guns N' Roses, really like smashing bottles, and it's really just a bunch of people with, you know, little mics like standing, you know, leaning on a gear case. It's like
exactly. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That's it.
That's so funny. Well, I am really stoked for the album whenever it does come out. I know you guys are finishing that up this year. I know the video is on the way. Do you know when the video and the new song are set to be released?
I'm thinking by the end of July or early August.
Cool.
Because we're actually, just before I called you, I was in some email exchange with the site that I think is going to debut the video, and we're trying to lock down a date. But it's going to happen in the next, like, 2 to 4 weeks maximum. So the video will debut, the single will be out, and then we might release another single or two. We might do, like, 3 or 4 singles in a row, and then, you know, lead up to an album, you know, by the end of the year.
Yeah, that kind of seems to be the new way to do it. You know, a lot of people do a lot of singles first, and then, you know, eventually all the singles they release lead up to an album that they can release. So it seems to be the move lately. Yeah, well, man, I am really looking forward to it. Everybody go check out Siglos. I hope I said
Yeah, very good.
Okay, all right. I you know, it's we're trying. So everybody,
now
please.
Spanish? Would you take Spanish in high school or something?
Yeah, I took Spanish in high school, and quite honestly, other than the very basics, I think like all that really checked in all the way was like Spanish 1. The rest of the years just just fell out somehow. I don't know how, but.
Well, it's funny. I had to take, if I remember correctly, in high school, I had to take some kind of foreign language. I took French for a little bit, and that didn't go well for me. So I ended up taking Spanish, and I speak Spanish fluently.
Yeah.
So
it worked out well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took Spanish for a little bit, and then when I was in college, I had to finish up some credits last minute, so I ended up taking Italian.
Oh, wow.
I'd always been interested, and that's another one, too, where because the problem is, I would love to actually learn a language outside of having to, you know, do it in, like, a school setting, because it's over and the assignments are over, I don't give a shit anymore.
Right.
You know, it's just, I'm not actively practicing it, so it's, like, it's on my bucket list to actually, you know, take a language and carry it with me instead of just butchering it.
Well, you'll have to go to Italy, or you'll have to go.
Yeah, I can go to any Spanish speaking country and know what live means. So we're off
there
to a good
go.
Start.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. I really, really appreciate it. Everybody, be sure to go ahead and check out Sin's new project. Keep up with him on social media. I know he's sharing all of the videos and songs and stuff as they come out. So be sure to keep up with him there. And thanks so much again, Sin. I really appreciate it.
No, Sydney, thank you. I just want to say once again, I really appreciate you taking the time. This means a lot to me. You are a total pro, and I appreciate that. That means a lot. But thank you for your support and for having me on.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's a pleasure. Thank you again.